When I was a very little girl, 4 maybe, we spent Christmas with my grandparents in Manhattan. And early one evening, after the stores had closed, my father took me out for a walk to see the windows at Saks Fifth Avenue. I didn't know that then, of course, but I know it now. And in one of my really very earliest memories, I see this brightly lit winter scene, all magically mechanized with woodcutters and skaters and animals. Round and round they would go, this way, this way, all under the intense scrutiny of a behatted face, its little nose smushed up against the glass. "There," my father would say, "did you see that? The beaver just got off the merry-go-round." Well, I hadn't seen it. So then I'd be watching the beaver with all my tiny might, and my father would say, "Oh, the woodcutter just changed his gloves." And there followed what seemed an eternity of a little girl keeping vigil at a shop window, doing her best never to blink and never to lose sight of even the minutest detail of the action. Now, as it happens, I think my father was snowing me. But I'm not sure. But never mind. What I learned in those few minutes was that sometimes the most important things happen in the twinkling of an eye. God splits a second, and the world is never the same again. But here's the trick. You have to be awake, watchful, alert. And this is harder work than it sounds. So, for example, our current opioid crisis simply writes large the ways in which all of us distance ourselves from paying close attention to our reality. Heroin works by zoning you out, obliterating the pain. Cocaine, by contrast, gets you so jacked up that you can't sit still long enough to pay attention. Let's be honest. We all have our own ways of turning away from the very things that most need our attention. From mind-numbing television or Chardonnay, on the one hand, to frantic busyness and a fondness for double espressos, on the other, we manage to avoid the work of watchfulness. And yet Scripture calls us again and again to keep awake. Our Christian story begins with Joseph and animals, an innkeeper, a village midwife, she has to have been there, and shepherds keeping watch over the birth of Jesus. Now, I have to say that, considering how many times angels had to intervene and explain what was going on, it can't exactly have been obvious that this birth was any different from any other. And that is exactly the point. If we are to see God in our human being, if we are to recognize that in the incarnation, heaven and earth have kissed each other, and that the face of God is as close to us as that little nose smushed up against the glass, then we're going to have to look for it hard. But right now, at what threatens to be the end of our Christian story, we keep watch in the darkness of another night, not in Bethlehem, but near Jerusalem, gathered as we are in the darkness of a tomb. Take care that you do not nod off, as Peter, James, and John did only two nights ago. For even though the resurrection will be proclaimed among us before we leave this place, I'm telling you that God is not going to look any more like God now than he did at the birth of his Christ. What we learn from this story is where to keep vigil for this God. I think the message is that God is to be found at the intersection of alertness or watchfulness and the absolute underside of human experience, in gratuitous violence, betrayal, abandonment, and God, when will it stop, pain. And that too is the point. If God is to be seen definitively in the worst of the worst, defeating its power, redeeming it for something good, something alive and lively and life-giving, then we're going to have to look for it hard, noses to the glass. Keep awake, the gospel says, for sometimes the most important things happen in the twinkling of an eye. And yet, it must also be said that almost nothing happens out of the clear blue sky. Think about it for a moment. Whether it's a cardiac episode, the failure of a marriage, or the waking one morning in April to a canopy of leafing trees. We could have seen it coming. We should have guessed. And likewise, this thing that we are watching for tonight has been an eternity in the making. That is why we take the time to go back over the stories, till, like readers of good Agatha Christie mystery, we realize, of course, how could it have been otherwise? For God has been dropping clues for millennia. We just didn't notice, or if we did, we didn't know what to make of them. This story that we have been telling this week could not have ended any other way. God has always been liberating people from the belly of their fears. God has always opened a path before people's feet when they were up against it. God has never wanted anything more than to melt our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh. God is for life. All you have to do is look for it. Hard.